This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Abe Gordon at 2 o'clock this afternoon. John Fricke with you from now till 2. 404-726-0929. You're always welcome to call in. Chatting a lot first couple hours about the Falcons and Atlanta United. I did see here there's a headline in the AJC this morning, and it says, what was it about Atlanta United? That their second half issues are becoming worrisome. Okay, it's been two games. Brand new coach, right? Right. Brand new coach, Dom. Brand new head coach.
Yep.
Multiple new starters, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just asking only because it's going to take a little time for everybody to get kind of on the same page. I would think.
Yeah, and that's actually something that Abe. Talked about on the full-time report after, like, it's going to take some time for this United team to gel, right? Like, there's a lot of new to this United team. It's going to take a minute. They have had some struggles to start the second halves. On the flip side, though, you can take that as, hey, their starting match is really good. They're starting off fast. They're aggressive. They're attacking. They're in control. So
it's been two games.
It's been two games, though. So let's not hit the panic button yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? You going to watch the Oscars tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything else to do once I leave here. I'll pop in and see what's going on.
I would watch. If Ricky Gervais was hosting, I'd watch it. But outside of that, nah, pass. Used to be one of those guys, watch the Oscars every year, because there'd be five pictures, not ten. You would have seen four, if not all five. You'd be rooting for certain pictures, right? Now, I look at this list. Of the ten, Dom, tell me how many you've seen, okay?
Okay.
Do you even know the list?
I don't know the list. What's the list of...
Okay, these are the 10 pictures. I've seen two.
Okay.
Of the 10. Emilia Perez.
Nope.
A Complete Unknown.
Nope.
Conclave.
No.
Nickel Boys.
No.
I'm Still Here.
No.
The Substance.
Yes.
My daughter saw that. That's that Demi Moore film.
Yeah, it's actually
it was
very good.
Out of insane.
It's very good.
Dune Part 2.
Yes.
Wicked.
No.
Anora.
Yes, I did see that.
And The Brutalist.
I haven't seen The Brutalist. I've heard about it. Anora's up for an Oscar? Really?
Best Picture.
For best, okay, huh, interesting.
Those are the best picture ones. I've only seen two, Doom Part 2 and Conclave. Doom Part 2 was good. I mean, it was a good film.
I loved Doom Part 2. I've loved both of the Doom movies.
Yeah, I did too. I actually think I liked the first one better than the second one. Maybe I'm in the minority on that. Conclave, no. Look, I'm not Catholic, okay? I'll just say that up front. But the last 15 minutes of that movie were so disgusting to me that were I Catholic, I would be immensely offended because it was just grossly offensive. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you just have to see the book.
I said, I'll go have to watch.
Yeah, it's really offensive to the Catholic Church, despite whatever you may think of the Catholic Church. It just, there was no reason for it. So I would hope not. And then the first hour and 45 minutes of that movie were kind of dull, actually. I mean, it could have been a great movie, and it was just, you want to watch something where you conclave that's wild and great and fabulous, go watch Borgia. Not The Borgias, which was good on Showtime, but Borgia, the canal one. That one was out of its mind. That show was wicked wild, though it's definitely NC-17, okay? I will just say. But it is Borgia, oh, man. Bob Alexander the Sixth of that name. Whew, that was something. Anyway, yeah, I've only seen two. I would see The Brutalist, be interested in seeing that. The Substance, do I really want to see The Substance? I mean, I heard it was hard to watch.
It is weird. And if you're not someone, like, I watch a lot of horror films and stuff like that, so, like, body horror and stuff like that kind of doesn't affect me. But, like, if you're someone who is kind of skittish, it may be a little too weird for you. But it is a good movie about, you know, yeah. And especially it is geared towards women because it's, you know, about how you view yourself, right. And how, mm-hmm. you know, you cover up a lot of things with products, and it kind of makes you a different person type stuff. It's a very good movie, though.
You know, A Complete Unknown, which is about Bob Dylan. You know, I might watch that on cable. I'm not a big Dylan fan.
I was going to say, funny enough, my dad and my granddad went to go see that, and they offered if I wanted to go, and I was like, no. I just have no, like, that's a movie where if it's on, probably, like, at home, maybe I'll throw it on or I'll catch it. But, like, I was never pressed to go see the Bob Dylan biopic.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Bob Dylan. And, you know, it was not my thing. So, look, I understand that you guys out there who are huge Bob Dylan fans, it's great. And look, we all like different things. I mean, it's okay. I mean, you probably don't like my choice of music either. You know, you would say, I'm not going to a concert with Metallica and Disturbed. Well, I am.
I believe it was a wise man that once said, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if it's your thing, it's your thing. And now, if it's a great film, I'm not opposed to it. I love a great story. So, I mean, I'll go watch a great story. 404-726-0929, of course, is the phone number here. We're talking a lot about the Falcons here. Can I also talk a little bit about the Braves? This is March. Opening day is this month for your Atlanta Braves. I'm going to be very interested. You know, do they have a, you know, people are talking about good problems for a change. They're talking about, hey, could we have a good problem with Jerry Kelnick that when Ronald Acuna comes back, what are you doing with Jerry Kelnick if he's tearing the cover off the ball? Because the early views of Profar are, okay, we got our left fielder. We know that Michael Harris is a budding superstar in center. If Kelnick's out there in right and he's tearing the cover off the ball, you got to put Acuna in. What do you do with Kelnick? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know. So that's a good problem to have. What do you do with Drake Baldwin? That's a good problem to have, too. I mean, you're really going to play him like you did, kind of like you did with Murphy a couple of years ago with Darno, where he gets a designated pitcher, say he gets Grant Holmes, or because he's used to, you know, catching him at Gwinnett. Or he gets, you know, he gets the Gwinnett guy, so to speak. You're going to play him once every 5 days with his bat and let Sean Murray, I mean, I guess. I don't know what other option you have. You're not going to play him and not play Sean Murphy. So that's kind of a good problem to have. I mean, so, hey, we got some good problems. That beats the hell out of bad problems. Let's have good problems for a change. 404-726-0929. Also, I'd love to talk to a baseball fan of what you think of the automated ball strike system. I like it. And you know what I really like about the concept of it is, this is why Angel, you know, this is why Angel Hernandez retired, right? I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
You know, we do this in the regular season, then we keep track of the stats, because the ABS isn't just going to be kept track of on challenges. Once they put it in, even though you could only have two challenges per team per game, there will be people who will use the ABS and track every single pitch. And every umpire will have a total of, did they get it right, did they get it wrong? Yep. That ought to be interesting.
And I think
let's put these guys on blast.
And that's what I say all the time. Referees can be bad at their job, and there's no consequences whatsoever. Like, they can go out there, screw a game, and it is what it is. Ump can go out there, make a terrible call, and it just you just got to live with it. And that ump, guess what? 2 days from now, he gets to do the same thing again, and he'll still get a check. So I love this idea, because it does put a little bit of accountability on them, and it gives it more of like a tangible way to actually say, like, no, this is how bad you are at your job.
Right. So, and we're all going to have, we'll have the ABS stats that they'll be available to all of us, the challenge stats, right, per umpire. But again, there's going to be somebody out there who, you know, sets up programs for every pitch of every umpire in every game, whether or not it's challenged or not, and whether did they got it right or wrong. Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. So I like it. But you may not like it. That's fine. You're a traditionalist. I get it. I like it. I like it a lot. But again, we can disagree without being disagreeable here. I also like the idea when they started talking about this week about another rule change, which is having a one-on-one tournament at the NBA All-Star Weekend. I liked it so much for $1 million. I said one time, maybe the way to do the slam dunk was to take $1 million in cash and put it at the foul line and then say, you know, to the players, do you want that lump sum of money? You know, it's sitting at the foul line. There's $1 million. Now, obviously, you did that, you probably issues with that. but you get my point here. The idea of a one-on-one tournament for $1 million to the winner and having, you know, eight guys play one-on-one or four guys or however they're going to do this, I find that far more fascinating than a crappy basketball game. They can dump the basketball game and just have a one-on-one tournament. You know, do the skills challenge, do the three-point, do the slam dunk, and do a one-on-one tournament. And do it all in one night for all I care, or split it up. Come up with another skills challenge or put the WNBA into the first night. And then the second night, you do the slam dunk and the one-on-one, or however you want to do it, and just dump the stupid game. It's sort of like what the NFL has done by dumping the Pro Bowl. You know, I mean, just get rid of the dumb game, because the game itself is pointless. We've gotten to that point. They didn't want to play in it. I'm not gonna play in that thing. You know, I'm injured. You know, they don't even want to make the trip. You know, so I get it. 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the program, we can talk college basketball. It is March Madness coming up. Let's go to Tony. He's on with John. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show. Did we lose Tony?
Yeah, I would say Tony. We dropped him during the break.
And so if you want to jump in here, you can do that. One other kind of interesting thing here that I want to throw into the show. Again, we could talk about a myriad of things because I got so much to catch up on here. Is something that the Crypt Keeper drives me insane. Okay, I got no dog in the hunt in the fight between Georgia and everybody else in the SEC. Okay, but I do have the Crypt Keeper drives me insane. I'm not really sure that I understand, quite frankly, why the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network keeps him on staff. Does he know somebody? He doesn't look good on television because he looks like the Crypt Keeper because he's not an attractive human being. And then he says stuff just to say stuff that you're going, what the hell are you talking about, you Alabama hack? And Feinbaum's out there saying stuff again this week that is like, oh, my God. He says, of Georgia, I don't feel great about Georgia. I felt like they underperformed. I mean, they came through at the right moment against Texas, but they had so many disappointing moments. They're still a playoff team. They just don't feel like a national championship team right now. All right, I'll repeat that. I don't feel great about Georgia. Feel like they underperformed. I mean, they came through at the right moment against Texas, but they had so many disappointing moments. They're still a playoff team. They just don't feel like a national championship team right now. You may agree with that if you're a Georgia fan. But let me tell you here, he feels like they underperformed. Did they win the SEC? Did they win the SEC championship
Yes, they did.
Were they the number two seed in the nation in the playoff?
Yep.
Well, if that's underperforming, then by God.
Well, I mean, when you win back-to-back national titles, that is underperforming.
I understand, but compared to who? I mean, you're underperforming compared to who? Underperforming compared to yourself? Is that what we're talking about here? Because underperforming to their own standards? I guess you can make, that's the only argument you can make. Because compared to who did they underperform? Oh, compared to Ohio State. Okay. Ohio State won the Natty, correct? Yes. All right. So did they win the Big Ten? No. Did they beat Michigan? No. Okay. So on some level, they underperformed, but they won the Natty, so I give them all the credit in the world. And I do. They're the national champions. I take nothing away from that. Compared to Ohio State, did they underperform? Yeah, okay. Slightly, maybe. Compared to anybody else, who did they underperform? Alabama? Oh, no. They didn't. No. I don't see anybody else. I'm a looking, Paul. I'm looking everywhere. Look, I'm not even a Georgia fan, Paul. I'm not even a Georgia fan. What are you talking about? Did they underperform by their own standards? Sure, but their own standards are ridiculously high. Their own standards are we don't lose a game, we don't give up a point, and we win the national title. All right, by that standard, they underperformed. Yes. Compared to anybody else, they didn't underperform, okay? I felt like they underperformed. Compared to who? Again, compared to who? Ohio State? Okay. Because Ohio State won the Natty? All right. Against anybody else? No, they didn't underperform. They won the SEC. They were the number two seed. Did they underperform compared to Tennessee? Compared to Michigan? Compared to Penn State? Compared to Texas? Compared to who? And he says stuff like this, and we all understand he's an Alabama honk. How about you worry? Again, this is Paul, worry about your own team. If he says, I don't feel great about Alabama, I felt like they underperformed. Yeah, okay, I'm with you there. Yeah, that was underperformance. You got it. 404-726-0929. Should the Falcons consider parting ways with Grady Jarrett and Onyemata and, you know, by extension, Carter and Judon, who are already gone probably, and this week revamp the entire defensive line? Should they do that? 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, just to speaking of UGA, practice starts. Do you know spring practice for Georgia starts? Dob, spring practice starts next, well, a week from Tuesday. 9 days from now, yeah, right, spring practice at UGA. And then their pro day is the next day, and I guess Dan Jackson will be at the pro. Dan Jackson's a guy that really intrigues me as a Falcons fan. Is there any way to snag him kind of later in the draft? I'd be interested in Dan. He hit a home run. Did you see that? See, Dan Jackson hit a home run.
Hey.
Why? Because he's playing for the baseball team. Why is he playing for the baseball team? Because he wasn't invited to the combine. Oh. But I'm sure he'll be at the pro day. Dan Jackson's one of those guys. Again, I go back to this, you know, what the combine is versus what the interview is versus what does the tape say. And what the tape says is Dan Jackson can play in the NFL. Okay, that's what the tape says to me. Tape says Dan Jackson's an NFL player. But I guess the NFL said, okay, we'll bring some other people to the combine. Okay, you do you. I like Dan Jackson. I like him a lot. You know, so we'll see. And the combine, you know, I find it fascinating. And people get all upset about the combine. Abdul Carter didn't work out at the combine. You know, well, at first everybody thought he was going to have surgery. Turns out he doesn't. Look, Abdul Carter's going to be a great player. He was a great player in college. He's going to be a great NFL player. Well, he just is. He's going to be a star. Travis Hunter did not work out. So what? Travis Hunter's going to be a star in the NFL. He's a superstar player. It's patently obvious. It doesn't matter that he didn't go to the combine. Ashton Jenny didn't go to the combine. That's a little bit different. That's slightly different than Carter and Hunter, in my opinion, because you got to really sell yourself as a running back. It says to me that Carter and Hunter can say, I got nothing to prove, and they don't. Jenny says to me a little bit more of, oh, I'm scared to actually kind of compete. What if I run slow? That's kind of like, you know, yeah, okay, that's a bit of a problem. That says, you know, Jenny says I don't want to do any damage to my, Hunter and Carter are like, right, it wouldn't benefit me to go. I wouldn't do any damage. I'm a top three pick. And because I'm great. Jenny's like, yeah, I don't want to do any damage to my stat. Oh, well, why not? Why don't you want to do any damage here, Ashton? Are you telling me that maybe you're not all that in a bag of chips? I'm just asking. I think Ashton Jenny will be a fine NFL running back. But is it a case where he sort of starts to drop because people go, you know, to be a running back that's selected at the very top of the draft, right? To be that guy. To be Christian McCaffrey, to be Saquon Barkley, to be Bijan Robinson, to be that guy who's taken at the very top of the draft as a running back, you got to be that extra, little bit extra. You know what I'm talking about? You got to be the extra. I'm not sure Genty's the extra. I think he's a really good running back. I'm not sure he's the extra. You know? Tyler Algier's a really, really good running back. He's not the extra. Okay? I love Tyler Algier, and it's a shame, but we're going to end up losing him, and he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to Michael Turner the thing. Michael Turner was another running back that I loved. He wasn't as good as he was, Falcons fans, as good as Michael the Burner was here. When he's with the Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson was the extra, okay? There was a reason that the Chargers basically, you know, Michael Vick for LaDainian Tomlinson. Because LaDainian Tomlinson was the extra. Michael Turner was really, really good. You know, Tyler Algier's really, really good. I think Ashton Jenny has a chance to be really, really good. Is he the extra? I don't know if he's the extra.
Let me go ahead and get that tweet queued up. John Fricky says Ashton Jenty is Tyler Algier. That'll do well.
Well, yeah, I think Tyler Algier is Tyler Algier is a Pro Bowl caliber running back. The Falcons have, you know, you can talk to me all you want about the Lions. The Falcons have the best 1-2 punch in running backs in the NFL. Tyler Algier starts for 25 NFL teams. Just not here. Because we got the guy that's a little extra mustard. He's Bijan mustard. He's the extra. Again, he's Michael Turner. Michael Turner would have started for 25 NFL. Look what he did when he came to the Falcons. He didn't start on the Chargers because of LaDainian Tomlinson. It just happened to be, you know? And so, Jenny's going to be a star player. I have no doubt of that. Is he Saquon? It's just that, like, next level thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just that extra level, okay? It's like Jaden Daniels is a really good young quarterback. Is he going? And look, he's a really good young quarterback. I'm taking nothing away from him. Is he actually going to be Lamar? You know, is he going to have? Because Lamar's Lamar. Jaden is not Lamar. Not yet. He may become that. Will he become that? I don't know. He's not Lamar yet. I'm not saying he can't be. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm saying at the moment he's not. You know, so he's really good, but at the moment he's not. It's like, you know, we don't know Michael Penix. Michael Penix could be a really good NFL quarterback. Is he going to be the extra? I can't tell you that he is. I'll tell you that. Look, I'll be brutally honest with you. I need Drake London to be the extra. He's not. He's a really, really, really good. He's a great wide receiver. Is he the extra? Julio Jones was the extra. You know, the extra is, you know, as great as some players are, they're not the extra. Okay, they're not that next, that tick level up. You know, they're great players. There's nothing wrong with them. We love having them. We want as many great players as you can have. There's just guys that have an extra. They've got one little half gear or one little something else that nobody else has. And that's just what makes them just a little bit more special. And so I think my point is stands that Ashton Jenny doesn't go to the combine because he cannot improve himself. There's no way that Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter improve upon themselves because they're already there. I think they're both extras. And I think they know it. I think the NFL knows it. I know it. You should know it too. Carter's going to be a star in this league. He's going to be Myles Garrett. Travis Hunter is going to be a star, a big-time star in this league. Could he be Deion? He could be close. He's that kind of guy. My only problem with Travis Hunter as a player is that he really wants to play full-time both ways. And I'm like, yeah, I think, dude, you're going to be a superstar defensive back in this league, and I'll play you 15 snaps on offense, but I'm not playing you full-time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, if he demanded to play wide receiver, I probably wouldn't draft him. I would say, dude, I mean, you're a really great wide receiver. Again, this goes to the extra. Travis Hunter as a wide receiver is really, really good. As a defensive back, he's extra. Okay? He walks in, potentially, within a year, he's the best defensive back in the NFL. He's not going to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. He could be among the top 10. He's that good. Would he be the best? In a side of a year, he could be the best defensive back in the NFL. That's the extra side of the ball with him. To me, anyway. So, again, don't fall too much in love with the combine. And I know a lot of guys are out there going, oh, we got to have Jihad. We got to have, you know, Shamar. We got to have Jackson. We got to have Landon Jackson, not Dan. We got to have, you know, Emma Worry, you know, whatever. But, again, it's only part of the process, okay? Tape is 50%. Interview is 30%. Combine's 20%. And what the combine does is, in the case of Ashton Jenny, he's got the 50 and 30, okay? He's got the tape says he's a star player in the NFL. I'm sure, having never met him, but having watched him being interviewed, he interviews fine. You know, he's got no skeletons in his closet. You know, he's going to be a team player. He's going to grow. So he's got the 50 and the 30. At the 20, he can't make himself more valuable in the 20 at the combine than he is now. He couldn't go to the combine and have people go, oh, he's better than we thought, okay? The best he could do at the combine is to flatline, okay? And, okay, he's kind of who we thought he was. That's the best goal for him. That's why he avoided the combine, because the best thing he could do was be just kind of who the guy is, which is do no damage. Otherwise, it's all downside for him. You follow? There's no downside for Carter. There's no downside for Hunter. Okay, because they're both extras, and we all know it. Jenny, I don't think he's extra. I think he's really good. I just don't think he's extra. And so he kind of realizes that and says, why should I do that? I'm not even sure he should work out at his pro day. I think he should just say, tape speaks for itself. I'm good. You're taking me or you're not. Because somebody's going to probably take him really high. So there's no reason, again, you're not helping yourself if you do that. Sometimes, you know, the extra workout, the additional workout, the pro day workout means something. Like Dan Jackson, I think if Dan Jackson, you know, takes time away from baseball and goes to the pro day, you know, over there in Athens, which is, you know, what, 9 days, 10 days away, Dan Jackson is the kind of guy that there are going to be some scouts going, wait a minute now, the tape says he's got the 50, he's got the 30, we know he's a multi-sport athlete, and now we're watching him in the pro day when he wasn't invited to the combine, and we go, oh, I think Dan Jackson is a guy that can really go rocket up the draft. You know, suddenly he's a high second round pick kind of thing. I mean, because I think they look at Dan Jackson, because all Dan Jackson ever did when he was on the field was make plays, right? He made plays. And so if you're making plays, then what you're running in a 40, what you're doing in a shot, did he make, yes, he made play. Big play, yes, he was in the right play, yes. Dude made plays, okay? If you are a playmaker, that is the most important thing. Do you make plays? Are you out of position? Do you know how to use leverage? Do you know how to, you know, make reads? That's why when the Falcons go to Seattle and they work out Michael Penix in the pro day, they're out there going, okay, he's going to be a really good player. And they get in the plane and go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, he's extra. That's what they said to themselves. They went, oh, my God, he's extra. Because the fact of the matter is, Kirk Cousins is not extra. Never was. Kirk Cousins is really good, but he was never extra. Because Kirk Cousins was never that next level guy. He was among the better quarterbacks in the league, always will be among the better quarterbacks in the league. Had a fight, but the next level up, that next quarterback up, you know what I'm talking about? He was never that next quarterback up. He wasn't extra. And they went to Seattle and they worked out Michael Penix and they went, oh my God, this dude's extra. Yeah. It's the same thing they said about Bijan. They went, oh my God, this guy's extra. It's actually kind of oddly probably the same thing they said about Kyle Pitts. Which, back to that for just a moment, if I may. As we make decisions over the next 8 days before free agency begins, I hope that Kyle Pitts is on this team this year. Because my big fear is that he's going to go somewhere else. I know a lot of you guys hate him. I get it. Look, I am as frustrated with him at times as you are, okay? But he's going to go somewhere else and somebody else is going to unlock him. And Michael Penix is saying, I want to unlock him.
I was going to say, every time we mention this with Kyle Pitts leaving, the thing that pops up in my head is like, it's going to suck if they release him and then like he goes to like Cincinnati and hooks up with Joe Burrow and like
blows
Joe
up.
Burrow unlocks him for real, for real. Like, that's going to be rough to see.
Yeah, and somebody can unlock him because we've seen it. Dom, to ignore that we've seen it, you know, in his rookie year with Matt Ryan when he makes the Pro Bowl, for crying out loud, and then to see, go back to the, you know, the game, remember, he drops the ball at the goal line, right? Those two touchdowns in that game are both down the field stretch touchdowns. We keep saying, well, we need somebody to stretch the defense and go down the field and take the top off the defense. That might be Kyle Pitts. That's why Michael Penix is saying, don't get rid of him. I can use him as my over-the-top guy. Because one of the things I said is, quit using him as a tight end. Make him a wide receiver. Turn him into, you know, a 6'7", 6'8", whatever tall he is. Turn him into that big wide, and just send him on go routes and let them slide double. You got to double the guy, because Penix is like, I'll just throw, you know, I have no compunction about trying to hit him downfield. I think Penix wants to keep him. He's made those statements to that effect, that he wants him to be on the team, because I think he looks at Kyle Pitts and says, I can unlock him. And I actually think that they looked at Kyle Pitts and went, oh, this guy's extra. But we haven't been able to unlock him yet. Bijan, they said, oh, he's extra. And I know they said that with Penix. So I'm going to be in, I may be in a big majority of Falcons fans to say to you that over the next 8 days, I have no problem with Judon being gone. I got no problem, obviously, with Lo Carter. I have no problem with Onyemata being gone. I would have a problem if Kyle Pitts is gone. Because I think that just what Dom said, he goes somewhere else and unlocks him and like, where was that dude when he was here? And I'm going, we tried to tell you, because the raw stuff right there, it's there. You just got to unlock it. All right, quick break. Take you to 2 o'clock at Abe Gordon today on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Ah, good to be back on the radio talking to you. Combine ending in Indianapolis, up the road from where I am, and getting ready now. Next big thing on the calendar, of course, will be Legal tampering for the NFL, which begins in eight days, a week from tomorrow, ahead of the beginning of the league year in free agency. And the Falcons have a couple of weeks here, make a lot of decisions about free agents that they want to keep on their own team. What are they going to do with Kirk Cousins? Do they have a decision? They have a decision to make about Grady Jarrett. What do they do there? What do they do with Onyemata? What do they do with Simmons? What do they do with McGarry? Drew Dahlman, I think they have no choice but to bring back, I would hope. There are a lot of decisions that have to be made. And then, of course, a lot of that is going to be based on things that we don't know, right? And one of the things we don't know is what kind of a system that Jeff Ulbrich wants to run that's going to be different, because whatever system it is, he could put like one guy in the middle of the defensive line and 10 guys in the secondary. It would probably be better. We're going to play a 110 defense. Yeah, God. At least I don't want to hear the head coach next year at all in any game after the game saying we were confused in the back end. Because if you're confused in the back end, there's nothing in life where that's a good statement to make. Nothing, okay? Steve, welcome to the show. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hello. No, this is Tony.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Hey, yeah, Tony from Decatur. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just want to comment on the Falcons. I know the Hawks and all that, but the Hawks, you know, there was an all-star game a few years back, and the final score was 144-142, and the Hawks are losing regular season games is worse than an all-star game, meaning they're not playing any defense, so I'm not even worried about the Hawks. The Falcons, I care about the Falcons. The Falcons, they got to get a defensive tackle in the first round. Please don't get rid of Kyle Pitts. Too many teams want him. Obviously, we're not using him correctly. And please, that number 20, whoever he is, get another nickel back, because that guy can't cover anybody. And please don't bring back Kirk Cousins. Find somebody, because Kirk Cousins is now scared. He got hit hard in that Saints game. He ain't been the same since. So I still want to say I hope they pick a defensive tackle the first round, and a couple more defensive guys on the second and third round. Our offense is pretty good, maybe a player or two, but we can pick those up, you know, however. And please, Judon and Simmons, please get rid of them. Too many business decisions being made. They need to get rid of both of them. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Tony. Simmons, I'm not giving up on. Put him in a better position than you put him in last year. Some of these guys were, again, confused in the back end was, you know, partly coaching here. So, put him in a better position. I mean, he's a star player for a reason.
You know what else helps that? I would say, you know what else helps that? Get pass some rush. Guys that can generate a pass rush so they don't have to cover guys for 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. And here's the thing. I don't know who they're going to draft yet, or if they're going to draft at 15. And this is the whole part, you know, having discussions about who they should draft and what they should do with the draft pick is sort of pointless for the next, you know, maybe 3 weeks or so. Let's see what happens here in terms of where the team is from a free agent standpoint. We got to get through free agency first. And the big rush that'll happen in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, then we'll get a good idea. Because, like, for example, they may be in the business of needing a backup quarterback. I think I can make an argument for it that you need to go out and get a veteran backup quarterback. So they may be in that world where they have to do that. And so, and that's going to come in free agency, not in the draft. So we'll see, again, who they're going to pick in the draft and what they need. If they kept Grady Jarrett and they went out and got another guy that's an interior defensive line of free agency, and however they decide to play this, there's another thing, too, in all this, and that is, again, something else we can't know. Dom, we can't know, for example, and I want to ask you a question about this, how Jeff Ulbrich, when he goes through the tape, and he watches players, and he meets them, and he works them out, and he looks at them, gets to know them, how he views, and I'll use an example here, two guys, Brandon Dorlus and Rook Ororo. Does he look at those two guys on the tape and how they played and say, look, they were misused by the previous coaching staff, the previous defensive scheme, and boy, they've got some real ups, and I can't wait to put them in a position to win? Or does he say to himself, okay, they're not as good as the previous coaching staff thought, and we really have to improve upon those positions, right?
Right. So in that instance, especially with it being Dorless and Roro being the options, in that instance, I think because they're so young, you still see the potential. So you think, okay, I can get more out of these guys. Maybe it was a scheme thing. And also, like, you know, especially with Rook, we didn't see a lot of him for the majority of the season. So I think that if you're coming into this and you're Jeff Ulbrich, I think you look at a lot of things. But the young pieces, I think you do want to hold on to just to see what you can get out of them. Because, like I said, they are young. They're still malleable.
Well, there were, again, a couple of flashes of Aurora didn't play a whole lot. There were a couple of flashes where, you know, suddenly he's beating up a couple of guys and he's in the backfield and I'm going, ooh, you know, did they just not play him enough? I mean, he didn't play the first, what, five or six games of the year. It was like, wait, you traded up to get this guy. He's got to be an immediate impact. Is he hurt? I mean, why is he not playing? And I didn't understand what was going on. He gets in and he has a couple of flashes, but again, I'm not there. I'm not at practice. I don't know. And some guys, by the way, some guys practice really well, and they just they're practice warriors. And or Tiger used to call them Ranger Ricks. Those are the guys that in pro golf, they go out in the range and they are striping the ball left, right. They do it. They can turn it over. They can touch it. They go out on the course and it doesn't happen for them. They're Ranger Ricks, and so. That happens. Didra Sinat, you and I would watch Deidre Sinat at practice and go, oh, wow, this guy is, you know, because he blow people up at practice, and then you get in the games, and you're like, what the hell's happening? Why isn't he doing it here? You know, that was a guy, for example, that we couldn't quite figure out. We said, did we? Because I said to you, when we, multiple practices, we're watching him blow up the first unit, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Where's that guy in games? I don't know. I don't either. I don't know. You know, you're pulling Scooby-Doos. Again, this is how the evaluation process will change, because we don't know yet whether the previous staff was right or wrong in regards to, and we'll add into Rook Aurora, Brandon Dorless, also Braylon Trice. And, of course, we haven't seen Braylon. We don't know how healthy he is. We know what the deal is there. So that will change the entire dynamic of not only free agency but the draft as well. So again, it's hard for us to speculate, but of course that's what we do. That's what they pay us to. What we're supposed to do.
It's a large part of our job.
Yeah, our job is to speculate. But again, we're not privy to some of the information, a lot of information that they're privy to. 404-726-0929, and not the least of which is, what kind of a scheme are they going to run here? And, you know, how emboldened are they going to be? All I know is that, you know, they decided to get much more aggressive on defense last year, toward the end of the year, and it cost them dearly in a couple of games, and they got really burned.
Yeah.
So, and it was something that all of us wanted, and they got really decimated by it. There was some really big plays. I mean, it's funny, that defense, when they got really aggressive, Dom, they played, like, look at the Washington game, where they were just destroying Jaden Daniels for a while. And yet you set that against a couple of games, especially that Carolina game, where they were just like, what in the world? You know?
Yeah, it was... It was weird. And then I think what we you know, we did hear where at one point they said Coach Ra took back you know, play calling of the defense at one point, and that's when maybe there was a little bit of a turn and stuff. It was a lot of changes. It was a lot of obviously dealing with a first time coordinator for a lot of these guys too. So it was a bad mix, but we'll see what Ulbrich can do with it moving forward. I don't think you'll see those busted coverages and the confusion on the back end as much this season.
Well, I would hope not. I mean, let's start there. Let's start with, we understand what our assignments are. You know, because if we can't even do that as a defense, then the rest of it doesn't matter. I mean, if we can't figure out who's supposed to cover who.
Especially that late in the season.
Right. You know, wait, you're supposed to be over there? Used to tell people that, like, you know, Rico, you know, Rico Allen was so important to this defense, and in ways you could not have known. You'd have to watch. You have to be a game. He ran the defense, and I'm not sure who the quarterback of the defense is right now. It probably ought to be Jesse Bates, but is that a role that he really wants to have, or is it Troy Anderson? You know, who's the guy to make the calls to put position? Because Rico would literally run up to linebackers and grab, like he would run up to, like, you know, young linebackers, like even Deion Jones, and he would grab them, and he would run up from his safety spot, grab them, and push them over like 4 feet and say, here, and then he'd run back to the safety spot. He would do that a lot during a game. He'd say, you're lined up wrong, you know? I mean, so he was literally put his hands on him and move him to a spot, you know? And so it was kind of interesting to watch that. But that was a quarterback on defense. And I don't know that they had a quarterback on defense. Well, hell, I don't think they had anything on defense last year. 404-726-0929 if you want to talk about the Falcons. You can also weigh in on the Braves. We are getting ready for the regular season to begin. I know that there's a lot of, you know, kind of speculation here as to when Strider and Acuna might be ready. I'm hopeful. Just look, all I know is, you know, guys, I follow, you know, Grant McCauley, and I follow the Braves, and I follow MLB and all that kind of stuff. And I'm seeing all the video out there, and it looks like, to me anyway, that Strider and Acuna, just to the naked eye, are ahead of schedule. I'm not saying opening day. I think they're just to the naked eye. They look like they're ahead of schedule. Now, what that means, I don't know. Does that mean end of the first month of the year, end of April, or does it mean even sooner than that? 404-726-0929. Let's go to Mark. He's on with John. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Can
sure, you hear me of course. Okay? Yeah, okay. I can.
Well, I was thinking about the Falcons, and, you know, my question, I guess, is how much pressure do you think Fontenot is going to be if we have another losing season this year?
Well, he's on the clock. From the opening kick, so is Raheem.
Yeah, and I mean, year after year, I've heard this so many times. I can't tell you how many defensive coordinators we went through and trying to find that magic. But, you know, all the talk for years, it seemed like last few years, is always we're going to get defensive end, and we wind up getting, you know, Kyle Pitts or someone like that. Don't get me wrong, I love Bijan. And, Fontenot was supposed to be in when he came in one of the top talent evaluators in the league, and I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, he was considered to be the best pro player evaluator in the NFL.
Okay, do we not have somebody doing it on the college side?
Yeah, no, they've got plenty of guys on the college side, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I've seen it as a fan for years. I've suffered just as everybody else when we've made catchy choices. I don't have the answer, because if it did, I wouldn't be working for a living. For what I do, I'd be up there.
But Mark, I would say this to you. You know, if they get this right on defense and just become mid, right, is this team capable of winning 11 games next year, maybe even 12? I think the answer to that is yes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. At that point, would you not say that if you look at the offense, because they drafted into offense and they went free agent in defense, correct? I mean, that's how they've pretty much done it until last year when they drafted heavily into the defense, except for the number one pick. They went heavily into the defense. They were drafting into the offense and going free agent. They were bringing in Onyemata and Bates and Simmons and Judon. And I mean, they were bringing in free agents on defense, whereas on offense, they were drafting into offense. They drafted Drake and Penix and Bijan. And of course, you know, they drafted Kyle Pitts and Drew Dahlman and Matthew Bergeron. They were drafting into offense and free agents, and, you know, largely, right? You'd agree with that, correct? All right. Yeah. If he drafts into offense and that offense blows up next year and becomes one of the top five offenses in the NFL, does he get credit for that?
Well, I give him credit, but what I'm getting at on that side is I haven't seen it. We don't have a legitimate stretch field wide receiver. I mean, we got some good wide receivers. I'm going to be wrong. But I would like to see a legitimate deep threat with that offense, but I wouldn't take it, you know, as a project receiver. I would want a legitimate. I don't know if he's going to be, there's going to be in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree that they could use an over-the-top wide receiver, that's for sure. Do appreciate it, Mark. Thanks much. I got to take a quick break here, and see some familiar names on the board here that want to jump into the program. So, again, breaks are short on the weekends, so quick break. Back with you in a moment. John Furman from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.